Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, April 6, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 28, the last paragraph, beginning with, in the following chapter, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with a spiritual experience. Today's readers are Robin P., the 12 steps, Mary C., the 12 traditions. Our Big Book readers are Jessica C. in the text, Nancy P. on page 164, and Robin P. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Kathy M., and our second hour moderator is Tony B. The share ID for Sunday, April 5th, 2026, is 23,342. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P., gratefully recovered in Tennessee. The 12 steps of OA. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Robin. I will now ask Mary C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be of service. My name is Mary C. I live in Italy, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service workers, our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Mary. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There Is a Solution on page 28, the last paragraph, beginning with in the following chapter. And we will be reading that one paragraph ending with a spiritual experience. I will now ask Jessica C. to begin reading.
Thanks, Rick. Okay. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it, then a chapter addressed to the agnostic. Many who were once in this class are now among our members. Surprisingly enough, we find such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I think, you know, this paragraph refers to the next chapter, the More About Alcoholism chapter, which provides a more description of the behaviors and thought patterns and the spiritual state of being in active addiction, of what it looks like for me to be actively compulsive overeating. And it does help me to hear my disease being described to me in greater detail. It reminds me that I'm in the right place with people who share my same affliction. And I've already been told that there is a solution. You know, we're in that chapter right now. So this description doesn't have to make me feel, it will make me feel more hopeless, but I already know that there is hope because I've been told that there is a solution. And if I'm going through the steps at this point, then I'm working with fellows and a sponsor who have experienced that solution. So I have hope. I do think it's helpful to be able to more effectively know when my disease is manifesting and label it, then I can label it more effectively so that when those defects crop up, I can say, you know, here they are, God. I can diagnose them and say, here they are, God. You have to remove them from me And I keep being reminded that only God can only remove what we identify and ultimately ask him to remove. And then this paragraph, it also refers to we agnostics, which offers a lot of hope to those who are uncomfortable about God, the idea of God, or ambivalent about God, that this doesn't have to be a barrier to experiencing that spiritual solution. And that, you know, if you are ambivalent or uncomfortable about the idea of God, that this doesn't have to be a barrier. There's plenty of examples of others who have recovered despite also feeling that way. And I really need that sort of data. I need real life examples of people who are like me, who might be uncomfortable with the idea of God, who share my affliction, who have gone to experience freedom from the disease of compulsive eating. So I think with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started, Jessica. And before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Janet B.
Charles H.
Charles, Anne-Marie M.
Tony B.
Tony B.
Lisa B.
Lisa B.
Peggy W.
Who is Heidi W?
Heidi.
Roz G.
Roz G. Okay, hold on. Back up. Who is the... I thought I either heard a Heidi or a Tammy.
Peggy. Peggy from Wisconsin.
Peggy. Gosh, there I go again. Peggy W.
Lisa B.
And I've got you, Lisa. Was there another Lisa B? Do I have two Lisa B's? I've got Lisa B from South Carolina. Was there another Lisa B?
Yes, there is.
Okay. I think I heard you first, didn't I? Okay, so, all right. I think we're going to stop right there. Here's who I've got. And if I don't call your name and you gave me your name, please let me know. I've got Janet B., Charles H., Anne-Marie M., Tony B., Lisa B., Roz G., Peggy W., Lisa B. Did somebody give me their name and I didn't call it out? Okay. Janet B., you are up first, followed by Charles H. Go ahead, Janet.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I find this paragraph so interesting, the line that says, you can be an agnostic and it's no bar to a spiritual experience. To me, that is so interesting because a spiritual experience is nothing less than, like it says, God coming into our hearts and minds in a way that is indeed miraculous. Now, how can I have that if I'm an agnostic? And I know for myself, I was a practical agnostic. That meant like I believed in God, but it didn't really matter to me. I treated God like a genie in the bottle. Come out and grant me my three wishes, then go away and leave me alone. So I was like a practical agnostic. And it tells me it's not a bar. Or being a real agnostic. How could not believing in God not be a bar? Well, page 55 answers that, and it says, it's one of the most beautiful lines in the book. It says, deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be blocked by calamity, pomp, worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. That means to the person who doesn't believe in God, or the person like me who had a wrong belief in God, it's there. That proper belief is there. It's telling me when God created me, he gave me like two lungs, one heart, two kidneys, one stomach, and deep down in there, he planted the fundamental idea of himself, that he loves me so much that he planted that idea of himself within me, in all of us. But just like cataracts can block us from seeing things in the physical world, I have spiritual cataracts, right? Pomp, calamity, worship of other things. And those are the things that block me. So how do I get past it? Well, I think it's page 46. It says, as soon as we're willing to believe. So as soon as someone says, God, I don't know if you exist, but if you do exist, I need some help. Or for me to say, God, I'm willing to admit everything I thought about you was wrong and start over and let you show me what to do. And if we do that and then start practicing what we know, honesty, unselfishness, self-sacrifice for the good of others, something beautifully miraculous happens. God reveals himself to us. He starts by removing the food obsession, and then he changes us. And it really happens. No matter if we're a regular agnostic or a practical agnostic, it enters our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. And that is the promise of these 12. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. Charles H., you are up next, followed by Anne-Marie M. Go ahead, Charles.
I believe and don't trust. How incredible is that? It's miraculous. You know, I love the conversation. I used to get massive resentful when I hear people knock religion just because there's so much of it, right? But I am not afraid to say without the religious idea, there's no spirituality. You know, everybody want to talk about spirituality, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm spiritually religious and religiously spiritual. Yet still, I am agnostic because sometimes I don't trust God, right? Like I ain't here, you know, saying that you know everything is beautiful. Sometimes there's fear. Matter of fact, every day there's fear because I'm embracing my shadows. And I love what the speaker just talked about, you know, deep down inside. My great reality sometimes is blocked by shadows. It's blocked by fear. It's blocked by resentments, right? But I trust today. I trust right now because I hear the experience, strength, and hope of other recovered compulsive overeaters that is going through, what's up, my boy, that's going through mad things, you know, uncomfortable things, and they still not eating compulsively. They still not, you know, they not crashing out, and they steady and they stable, right? Like there's got to be some type of trust to go with my belief. I'm not telling you you got to give 10% of your income. I'm not telling you you got to be on your knees. I'm not telling you nothing. I'm just telling you that I'm religiously spiritual and spiritual religious. Just for today, because I trust and believe that you guys trust and believe. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Charles H. from New York. And just a reminder, please remember to introduce yourself, including your name and where you're calling from. Anne-Marie M., you are up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Rick. This is Anne-Marie M., and I am calling in from South Carolina. Gratefully through God's grace, recovering from compulsively overeating. And I too agree that the God that I believe in, that I grew up with, is deep down within me and is stronger than this disease. And it is also blocked at times, just like it was said, from this disease, and I call the disease a demon. So I just wanted to share what I was really going to do was share what my experience on what happened last night. I left my daughter's house, my husband and I, and we were driving home, and all I wanted to do was compulsively overeat. That's all I could think about. And, I didn't want to tell my husband because he wants to fix me, and he's not a compulsively overeater, so he wouldn't be able to understand. So I was in the car, and I was praying and saying, God, I know that you are stronger than this desire to compulsively overeat. I know that you are stronger to than compulsive overeating, and stronger than the demon that is trying to lure me away from you. So please, God, please help me. I just all the way home. And I got home, and that desire was still there. And I asked my husband if he wanted to watch in this stupid series. So anyway, I got through it. And through God's grace, it was through God's grace and God's mercy. But what I realized afterwards, when I was doing my, I was just thinking about my day, I realized the conversation that I had with my daughter had irritated me, and it was rather late. So this morning I talked to another fellow, and you know, it was so clear to me of what, you know, the judgment that I was having, the irritation that I was having that she wasn't doing what I wanted her to do, basically. That's what was causing I wanted to compulsively overeat because I was irritated and I wanted to soothe that. And my thing is to go to food. But yeah, I went to God last night, and that was great. But I need fellowship too. I can't just do this on my own, you know. It was wonderful for me to be able to talk this through with another fellow, you know, that she's in my God squad, that knows what's going on, knows me, knows the, you know, my relationship with my daughter. And it was just very, very
helpful. That's time, Anne-Marie.
So I will pass. Thanks so much, Rick.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Tony B., you are up next, followed by Lisa B., L-I-S-A-B. All right, Tony, go ahead.
Thanks, Rick. My name's Tony. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Scotland. And, we've been talking here, well, they've been saying, you know, how important a spiritual experience is that is solid enough to really change us. And I think coming into the end of this chapter, there is a solution. So the solution, clearly, it must be a spiritual one. And it's got to be the type of spiritual experience, awakening, that is going to change us, because the way we were before just isn't working. And as real compulsive overeaters, there's no way out without us changing, because fundamentally I'm a very selfish person, and I have to change in order to recover. I have to change to thinking of others more than myself, and that's a huge, well, as it says, you know, huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. I mean, it doesn't have to be sudden, but it has to happen. And the working of the steps brings that about. So I think here towards the end of the chapter, there is a solution. It's assuring people who, you know, perhaps are starting to think, oh, no, maybe not. This isn't for me. They're talking too much about God and, you know, religious experiences, and this isn't going to work for me. And they're reassuring them that anybody can get this as long as they are willing to try. So, you know, they're telling us that in the following chapter, there's the explanation of alcoholism, again, to reinforce the fact that we are the real thing and cannot without a spiritual change. And then this chapter addressed to the agnostic, which is so helpful and has already been said, has some beautiful, beautiful lines in, like, deep down in every man, woman and child is the fundamental idea of God. So we might be covering it up with different things, but there it is. And it does say many who were once in this class are now among our members. So it suggests that they've they're somehow, you know, no longer in that class. Although even it doesn't matter really, because as long as the do's get done, as long as the action gets taken, the change is going to happen, and God is generous and God is good, and he's okay with us saying we don't believe in him. There's still the opportunity for this change to happen as a result of action and altruism and thinking of others more than ourselves. So it does say once, but then later we find such convictions no great obstacle to the spiritual experience.
That's time, Tony.
Thank you, Rick. I'll leave it there. God bless you all. Love you all. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Lisa B., you are up next, followed by Roz G. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. My name is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm from Michigan. I don't know where the paragraph is because I came on late, but excuse me, from what others have shared, for me, I've gotten the general idea. Today I have a relationship with God that I never thought would be possible. When I first came in here and heard them talking about God, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm out. You know, this isn't going to work for me because I have no belief, et cetera, et cetera. And then somebody told me, well, you know, your higher power can be as simple as the people around the table. And I thought, okay, well, I can do that. And so that was my first higher power. And gradually over time, that has morphed and changed. And I believe it was God's plan for me. I've never been religious, continue to not be religious, but I do have a relationship with God. And I'm so grateful for that. It's a beautiful thing today. And, you know, he's helping me. He's helping me in all aspects of my life. A lot of times God speaks to me through other people, specifically for vision. I think it's through the 10 steps, because I call people. Well, I put my name out there that I need help with the 10th step, or, you know, I'm willing to hear somebody's 10th step, and God hooks me up with whoever I need to talk to or whoever needs to talk to me. And it is just miraculous to me, some of the people that I've been connected with. And I didn't pick them, you know. I have no idea who most of them are, you know, but I get what I need, and hopefully they get what they need as well. God's grand plan, you know, and it's working for me, so I'll keep coming back. Thank you for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. All right, Roz G., you are up next, followed by Peggy W. Go ahead, Roz.
Okay, my name is Roz G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And thank you, Rick, for your many years of moderation and being of service here. So I would just like to say that I'm so grateful for the chapters that follow in this book. I'm so grateful and thankful for this book because I did come in as a religious person. I did not realize that I was such an agnostic, because many, many times when things hit me, I will go into fear. And then the big book reminds me, God is or isn't. What was my choice to be? And that I'm trusting in finite self rather than infinite God, because it talks about that in the following chapters. And even though I came with a religious background, I really did have agnostic tendencies, because when things came up, I would automatically go to fear. And I would say that today that happens a lot too. It still happens. But as I advance in the steps as I live these steps every day, I'm grateful that things will come to my mind. Oh yeah, God is or isn't. What is my choice to be? Oh yeah, I'm trusting in finite self rather than infinite God, and that I can turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and that I can ask God to remove this thing and ask him what he would have me be and do. And it clears it up very quickly. And to me, that is a very, very big, it's a spiritual experience for me. So whether I'm on the high, I'm in the high place in the valley, in the high place on the mountain, or in the low place in the valley, I have this book to give me direction to bring me right back to God and to live in the spiritual life. You know, my choice is to live a spiritual life rather than to die a compulsive overeating death. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Roz G. from California. All right, Peggy W., you are up next, followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Peggy W. here from Wisconsin. And yeah, this has been I think I've said it before, a tricky one for me. I did grow up in a religion, Baptist, and I was just talking to my sponsor about this the other day, how I feared sitting in the third or fourth row. The pastor that we had in the church was, I felt like he was talking to me, calling me a sinner, telling me I was going to burn in hell. I was five. Like, every time I left church, I always thought, oh my God, I'm going to go burn in hell. Like, I'm a sinner. I did everything wrong. Now, trying to get a concept of a higher power, I'm trying to trust that he's loving, caring. And I pray for that every morning. Like, I want to feel that you have my back. I want to know that you can help me through this. I'm on day four today, which is a fucking miracle. I have to say it, because I couldn't get 2 days together. And so waking up this morning and making it through yesterday, which was the hardest day, being with family, watching them, oh, doesn't this taste good? Oh, did you try that one? I just felt so angry yesterday. And I know I'm going through the process of getting all the flour and sugar out of my system. So I'm going through some DTs, but calling my sponsor and having her just pray with me. And I made it through the day. Yeah, I was really angry. I don't know if anybody has ever experienced being as angry as I am, but I'm pretty angry. And sometimes I just have to laugh at myself. Well, anyways, I pray, I feel like. And still waiting to feel the presence of that God or higher power. I don't know. I'll just keep doing it and fake it till you make it, right? Is that what they say? I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. Glad you're here with us. Lisa B., you are up next. And before we get to Lisa, just a reminder where we're at. We're in There Is a Solution on page 28, the last paragraph beginning with in the following chapter, and reading that one paragraph ending with a spiritual experience. All right. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Rick. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I do spell it L-E-S-A. I'm in South Carolina. I didn't get to hear the lead share, and I love this reading, and I love all the shares. I had a hard time getting on, but I do know now where we are in the big book, and what I really love about this paragraph is that it's pointing me to the chapters before and after, where I start to understand what's been blocking me from God as I understand him. And I also love that so much of our basic text is really devoted and about helping me understand what my real problem is. And I know that when I can understand the problem, I can start to be open to the solution. And also this paragraph is talking about the agnostic chapter, chapter for the agnostics. And I just used to think that chapter doesn't even apply to me, which is so crazy because I see that I go into fear, disbelief, and negativity very easily, very so. I just do. I don't even know that I'm doing it. I can slip back into agnosticism in areas of my life, even if I say I have faith, you know. So I just love this reading. I love this meeting. And I also wanted to say, you know, what keeps me coming back is just hearing everyone share their experience, strength, and hope. I continue to identify in, and that's where things become real for me. And we can do for each other what the professionals, you know, haven't been able to do for me. So I love hearing all of you, and I'm so glad to be here. And I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. All right, we're continuing on with some more names on page 28, the last paragraph, beginning with in the following chapter, reading through that one paragraph, ending with a spiritual experience. And if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read today?
Linda S.
Kimberly K.
Okay, so I heard Kimberly K, but was that, did I hear Lynn?
No.
Linda S.
Oh, Linda?
And did
yes.
You get Liz S?
And M, North Carolina.
Okay, guys, so I've got Kimberly K and Ann M, and I'm still trying to figure out, I heard a Lynn something, and I just want to make sure I've got that right.
I've got a Liz S who'd like to share.
Okay.
And Linda.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a Linda?
Yes.
Or a Lynn? Linda?
Linda S.
Okay, Linda S. Got it. That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure. So I've got Linda S., Kimberly K., Ann M., Liz S. Who else? Okay, I think we're going to just see where we're at with time with these. We'll probably have some more room. Okay, I'll put Sandy S. in there. All right, so I've got Linda S., Kimberly K., Ann M., Liz S., Sandy S. All right, Linda S., you are up first, followed by Kimberly K., and please remember to include where you're calling from when you introduce yourself. All right, Linda, go ahead.
Thank you, Rick, for your service. It's not easy with the names there. Linda S. in Sweden, gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating. And what this part reminds me of, that there's no obstacle that is too great to recover. If I'm in a place of being defeated, really. It makes me think of humility and honesty and willingness, really, that it doesn't matter where I come from, it doesn't matter what convictions I have. If I'm in a place where I can no longer be, like I couldn't stand to be where I was. And that really humbled me. I wanted different. And I had the belief that, well, I was just too messed up. I had, you know, made too many mistakes, too many trials and errors, and I'd failed too many times. I mean, I knew that there is a God. I knew that God is good. And still, I was just, I failed so many times trying to recover, trying to do the right thing, trying to just do a lot of things in my own strength. But I had failed to surrender. So when I came to that place where I'm just defeated, like I just really can't do this, I see the grace of God helping me to take the right action. And it's been a really, really like long journey for me to come to this place, and many years, but still I see that nothing that has been needs to stand in the way of my recovery, and nothing that I've been thinking or believing needs to be an obstacle either, if I'm just willing to lay that down and, you know, be honest with God and ask for help. So yeah, that was what this reading was reminding me of, that I constantly need to humble myself because I think I know everything, basically. And I couldn't see it until God helped me see it. So, yeah, I'm so grateful for this program and the steps helping me to take the right action and, yeah, having led me into recovery now. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Linda S. from Sweden. All right, Kimberly K., you are up next, followed by Ann M. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Fortunately, by the grace of God, I had a connection to God, and so that was not a tough sell for me. However, as I'm listening, I need to be reminded by fellows or my sponsor, if I'm uptight, have you taken it to God? How about you pray? And that, again, is an easy sell, but I don't always pick that one up. And I continue to learn more about my disease. And I'm thankful that I have a God of my understanding and that I have a reliance that there's no coincidence that I was directed to come back to OA. And I'm grateful for that. That was a God incident. That was me turning this disease over and saying, okay, look, you know how to get help. How about you make a call? And I called into a meeting and landed a sponsor, and that's that. To me, it's an opportunity where it says here, not all of us join religious bodies, but most of us favor such memberships. I'm grateful that there's others like yourselves that I can latch on to and learn about this experience. There's many ways out. I feel yet God wants more for me to become the healthy woman I'm intended to be. And so there is that. It's an opportunity for me to trust. And I've often said, and I'm a part of an organized religious group, if you will. I've often said that that was the tenet of my structure for a religious opportunity, and that the 12 steps of recovery is my spiritual identity and experience. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm uber grateful that my sponsor directed me to Vision, because it shows me through the power and grace of God that there is that hope of recovery. And I'm grateful for that. I think that's enough. Thank you for letting me share, and everybody have a great day. Thank you.
And thank you, Kimberly Kay. Before you go, where are you calling from, Kimberly?
Right. I'm calling from New Hampshire.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Kimberly Kay from New Hampshire. And just a reminder to introduce yourself, including where you're calling from. All right. M, you are up next, followed by Liz S.
Good morning, all. Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everybody who's on this call this morning. This is Anne M. And my official address is North Carolina, but for the past 4 months, I've been a nomad. I am moved to call because I had an experience where the spiritual experience was so obvious to me. So some of you have heard me say that I came into OA 15 years ago. I thought I had it all together, but I was relying on self. I relapsed. I'm coming out of relapse with grace of God and a sponsor. And having had a spiritual experience as the result of working these steps in a different way. So I feel very good about that. And the quick experience that I want to share is that before my relapse, I sponsored a couple of people. And I remember listening to somebody's fifth step and having a great deal of difficulty paying attention because I was doing a lot of comparing of her and me. And my head was just focused on me. This past Saturday, I listened to a sponsee's fifth step. And prior to doing that, I prayed to the God of my understanding for assistance. And for 5 hours, I was fully attendant on that individual. And I'm just amazed that God gave me strength and attention to do that. I mean, I say amazed. I'm always amazed and grateful at the expansiveness of God relative to the narrowness of my ego-driven self. Anyway, I just wanted to share that that relevant to this paragraph that we are reading, I can see so clearly the difference in my life that this spiritual experience has made in my recovery and therefore also in the recovery of others. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ann M. from North Carolina. All right, Liz S., you are up next, followed by Sandy S. Go ahead, Liz.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thank you so much for your service today and all days. This is Liz S. calling from Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, recovered but not cured. You know, this is me. This is my conclusion and my feelings. I had a great, wonderful spiritual experience working the steps. I just finished. And I was working. My sponsor for doing the steps was Lori C., who happens to be an atheist. And I was working, I think, the 10th step. And I just had this massive urge. And I did sort of yell out, I don't understand. I don't understand. Is there a God or isn't there? Do you exist or don't you? And I heard a still small voice say, yes, I do. And for quite a while, I relied on that still small voice's answer as proof that there was God. And now I'm reading William James's The Variety of Spiritual Experiences, which talks about different ways to look at religious experiences, which translate into spiritual experiences. I think that's what he's talking about. And I've come to the conclusion in my head and in my heart that it really doesn't matter whether there is or isn't something called God, that what is important is whether I believe in it. And when I am willing and honest and open-minded, you know, I do. And when I'm not, I'm not. So I have to monitor my sort of belief base on a moment-by-moment basis. And I do just turn things over to whatever it is will happen. It will happen. It's out of my control. And I feel a peace. So you don't have to believe in God to work the steps and have them work. You just have to take the action and be honest, open-minded, and willing. That is my belief. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. Sandy S., you are up next, and then we'll see where we're at with time and get a name or two after that. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy S. from Florida, currently in freezing in New Jersey. I didn't hear the reading, but I got the gist of it by listening to everyone, and I've been in recovery for a very long time, by the grace of God, by one very significant spiritual experience 50 years ago. And how is God showing up in my life today? Well, I think that I've shared on the line very infrequently now, but I felt this urge to share this morning. A year and 2 months ago and a couple of days, I met my second soulmate after my husband died 3 years ago. And it's absolute proof to me. I'm 78. This is the absolute best time of my life. I feel God's presence when I actually feel joy. I kind of felt a shame that I've had recovery with the food for so long, that I really have worked this step to the utmost of my abilities. I have never, ever, ever rested on my laurels only because of fear. You know, fear that I'm one of these people who have a fear of success, that I'm going to lose it. So the whole thing, I mean, even after all these years of abstinence, every day I wake up and like, I need God. I know to the core of my being, the gift that God gave me was this mental illness I have that I'm recovering from. You know, that's kind of like an outside issue, but really it is the root of the compulsive eating. It is this, I know what the problem is the first time in my life. The problem is I do not feel, I do not experience connection with God. And a lot of times I don't. When the fear is there, what's wonderful about it is that I know what to do. I've always known what to do, which is to ask God, what is the next right step? So the next right step for me today, I like to be very concrete. I'm in New Jersey. In his name is Louis, this guy. I'm with his sister in New Jersey. It's very physically uncomfortable because I'm used to Florida. And I just have to pray in each moment, God, what's the next thing you want me to do? What is the next thing? And whatever, you know, I think it is, I'll do it. So I just want to share this. After being really unhappy, very anxious, I am the happiest I've ever been. And
that's time, Sandy.
Thank you. I'll just say the gift of somebody who has recovery, Louis, because he was born with it. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Sandy S. from Florida. All right, we've got room for a two-minute share if somebody wants it.
Yes, Vinny from New York. Vinny S. from New York.
Go ahead, Vinny from New York.
Hi, I'm Vinny S. I'm from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I just love the shares in the room. Thank you for your service today. I got a lot out of that. I'm coming off a relapse. Today's my first day back. It's been a 3-week journey of relapsing, and I feel that I'm spiritually fit today to start on this journey. Got a sponsor to work with, and I am so grateful. You know, God is my higher power, and I have to seek Him each and every day. And the spirituality is what I was missing in my life in the last past couple of weeks. I don't know what brought me to that point of where I just stepped out because of getting upset of something, but sometimes I lose my confidence of staying online, or my weakness is reaching out for help and calling my sponsor or reaching out for an outreach to do so, keep me on track. That's one of my flaws that I need to work on. I have a lot of character defects of things that stand in my way, and I have to learn to overcome them. And with this program, it shows me, and sponsorship and the fellowship means so much to me. And I have to use that to my advantage. It's part of what is needed. And I'm truly grateful for that. So thank you so much for letting me share and doing this service. And everyone shares today. And everyone have a blessed day. Thank you.
Well, welcome back, Vinny S. from New York. All right. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, April 6, 2026, is 23,343. That's 23,343. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Nancy P., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Nancy, hit star one to unmute. All right, we might have some technical difficulties with Nancy. I will read that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. Well, God bless you and keep you until then.